Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited for our returning guest today. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
You know him from the show's Final Space, Bless the Hearts, and the upcoming HBO show, Minx. It's Oscar Montoya.
Hi. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm back, baby.
Third time, I believe.
Third time.
Third.
Three times.
Fourth.
What do we? No, not definitely not fourth.
Well, you did Nightmare on Elm Street.
You did a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. And then Berserk.
Oh, and then I did Berserk. You're right, Berserk.
And
wow.
You and I have spoken.
We have.
In the past.
Okay.
You have
bringing
now,
this up now in public.
I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up.
We are in
front
public.
Of the children, Mark. Really?
Yeah. You have since seen Joan Crawford's other better horror movie, Straitjacket.
Yes, I have.
And you hadn't seen it at the time we recorded Berserk. And when we recorded Berserk, I kept making the case that this isn't as good as Straitjacket.
And I think you're correct.
This is all I
wanted. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Wow.
That's what you wanted to hear.
Wow, you brought something, some obscure old argument up just so you could be told you were right.
Yeah,
that's
welcome
the
to a
most
podcast.
On game.
But John, are we surprised?
I'm saying that's the most on game thing Mark Rennie has ever done.
You should
have, like,
see it, John.
A ledger of receipts.
I have the receipts. They call me the accountant.
That you're ready. Yeah.
It's not a slight. It's just let's advocate for Straitjacket. I'm glad there's another person in my camp.
Uh-huh. Straitjacket is fantastic, but also Berserk is exquisite as well. Everyone,
no,
indeed.
Too much circus footage.
Mark.
Upsetting circus.
Honestly, that's your only gripe. That was your only gripe in Berserk.
That's a pretty good one. That for me, that is in some ways a deal breaker. If it's actual circus footage of the 60s, I find it personally very upsetting. It's like, well, it takes me out of it.
It's such a weird rule that you have established in your heart. You know, if there's 60s circus footage, I'm not on board.
Yeah, that works for me. I mean, how does that affect you? What do you care?
Well, I have to hear you yell about it. So it doesn't affect me.
Well, you signed up to do this project.
I signed nothing.
No, I just think 60s, especially British. Ugh. So
you
grim.
Can't just
we've
say
gone
British
from circus
and go,
to British.
The 60s and 70s in England, especially like the later period, was just like a dark, upsetting, ugly time. The clothes were hideous. People were rough. The hair was bad.
Oh my God.
And then you add Art a circus to that.
It's coming in swinging. Wow. Oh my God. John, what happened before I showed up?
It's been tough. I'm so glad you're here.
But veering wildly away, you just signed up for the Criterion Channel.
I did.
Was this your first time having it?
It's my first time and my first movie ever.
Okay. Well, pump the brakes. Not quite yet. Were you do you have any, like, do you buy DVDs or Blu-rays?
No, I'm not like you, Mark. I have some Blu-rays, but I'm not a big collector.
Cheetah Girls.
Just because everything besides the Cheetah Girls.
Those are autographed.
Oh, of course. Yeah. By only three of the four.
Paw prints.
I would get to ring this autograph.
It's going to be worth so much more money.
But no, I don't. I should, but I just don't have any physical stuff of movies that I truly love. I have all of the John Waters movies.
That's a good one.
There you go.
And on DVD, I don't even have the Blu-ray collection.
And what has this stuff been put on Blu-ray?
A handful, not everything.
All That Heaven Allows, I have that.
I love All That Heaven Allows.
There's a lot of John Waters on the Criterion Channel.
Oh, and I have Basket Case, which is my favorite horror movie of all time.
Oh, sure.
And, I have Rabid Grannies.
Rabid Grannies? Tell us about this.
Rabid Grannies is a schlocky.
What?
It's a D movie. Yeah, I know, if you can believe it.
Robbed at the title.
Robbed at the Oscars that year. Yeah, it's just a schlocky, stupid movie about grandmas that want to eat their grandkids.
You know, who could blame them?
It's a documentary.
Practical effects are fantastic. What'd you say?
Is it a documentary?
It's a documentary, yeah. And is that all? Oh, and I have Black Dynamite on Blu-ray.
But love that's Black Dynamite.
That's all I have. I don't have anything else.
I'm putting too much
of my trust in streaming media, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a mistake because even if you buy something on streaming, you're only buying access to it. And it says in all the fine print, they can take that away at any moment.
No.
So even when you buy something online, you don't actually have it. And I think Blu-ray, even 4K Blu-ray, they say is the last physical media for a movie. Like, there's not going to be another one after that.
Are you sure? I feel like they said that about like 8-tracks.
The technology's come a bit.
They definitely said that about LaserDisc.
A department store, John. John, I feel like they said that about 8-tracks, Flynn.
Yeah, I got that tattooed.
Okay, I have a question. If a hypothetical, if there's a fire in your house and you can only grab two physical copies of the movies that you own, which two would you grab?
Well, I know John's taking his Grease leather jacket DVD.
Thank you for answering for me, Mark. Appreciate that.
I don't know. Maybe Death Spa. Oh, I just saw. Mark, did I tell you I just saw that movie?
No. Diseases research. I advocate for people to watch Death Spa.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing, fantastic. Right?
Yeah.
In some ways, maybe next year that'll be my queen's choice. But instead, this year.
Okay.
We're talking about a very controversial pronunciation. Beau Travail? Sure, let's go with that.
Travail.
John, what?
I've heard.
How would you say it?
How would you say it, Oscar?
I would say Travail.
Beau Travail. That makes sense.
I've heard Beau Travail and Beau Travail. Google speech says Beau Travail. My husband says Beau Travail. What did you say, Mark?
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't even remember. I am not committed to anyone. Either way, that's the movie we're talking about. John, what's the deal with Beau Travail?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Beau Travail. It was directed by Claire Denis with a screenplay by Denis and Jean-Paul Fargeau, and is loosely based on Herman Melville's novella, Billy Budd.
What?
Uh-huh. And no. Foreign Legion officer Galoup recalls his once glorious life leading troops in the Gulf of Djibouti. His existence there was happy, strict, and regimented, but the arrival of a promising young recruit plants the seed of jealousy in his mind. He feels compelled to stop him from coming to the attention of a commandant who he admires, but who ignores him. Ultimately, his jealousy leads to the destruction of both of himself and the recruits. It stars Denis Levant, Michael Sabor, and Gregory Colin. It premiered on September 4th in 1999 at the Venice Film Festival. I couldn't find any information on the budget, but according to Wikipedia, the box office is $570,000. The film was highly acclaimed in the United States. Charles Taylor of Salon.com wrote, Beau Travail is the most extreme example of Dennis's talent, baffling and exhilarating. I don't know when I've seen a movie that is in so many ways foreign to what draws me to movies and still felt under a spell. Jay Hoberman of The Village Voice wrote that the film is so tactile in its cinematography, inventive in its camera placement, and sensuous in its editing, that the purposefully oblique and languid narrative is all but eclipsed. And that is the deal with Beau Travail.
So, Oscar, I chose this movie. I made you watch it. I don't know if that was a good idea or a bad idea. What did you think? Had you seen it before? Did you anything going in?
I am kind of shocked at this Billy Budd reference thing.
Well, I guess that sense. Is...
Go it ahead. Makes sense now watching it, but whoa, I didn't... Wow, okay.
Huh. I think the essential thing it took from Billy Budd was like the sense of like a triangle between like the superior, the right. like master of arms, and then like the new recruit, and like a kind of a quasi lovers triangle.
Yeah, you know, like because Billy Budd is always my go-to reference for like gay novels. It's like the Brokeback Mountain of literature. Is Billy?
I've never read it. You've read it?
You never read it?
Should I?
I guess if I like boring. This movie,
Herman Melville, a book from the late 1800s, is boring.
So. Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, I can't.
This was before Harry Potter.
Oh no!
When books started getting interesting, right? Yeah.
But Harry Potter makes great Kindle.
I have never heard of this movie. I must admit, before Mark forced me to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought that this was going to be like a fun, silly romp because I feel like that's Mark's whole deal most of the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, his like reference points are like Death Spa,
sure.
You know, Sleepaway Camp, you know what I mean? Just really sort of like sillier, campier stuff. So this was a little bit of a whoa genre shift for me. So I think like, as soon as
I contain multitudes, Oscar.
Which, you know what? I'm just learning about.
I'm learning. I'm an onion.
Takes a while.
I'm just learning.
Takes
about.
A while. Yeah.
But as soon as you told me it was on the Criterion Channel, I was like, oh.
I have to dress up to watch this movie.
This isn't like, some willy-nilly.
Get my tux.
This isn't some willy-nilly recommendation.
Wow. Okay. But then I thought it was something like, I thought it was going to be something like of a Mon Oncle, of a Jacques Tati. Sort of thing.
Sure. You know what I mean? Like, a touch of whimsy.
Sure. Exactly. Like a little whimsical, but this ain't it.
This is not, I would not say whimsy.
There is no whimsy here. Mm-mm, we ain't at the chocolate factory, Charlie. This is not whimsical at all.
In some ways, it's a chocolate factory.
In what way?
Regimented movements.
That's a chocolate factory.
What? Oh my God. To compare this movie to the Oompa Loompas perspective, Mark, no.
Thank you. Rise up, troops. So what did you think of it? What was your experience?
You know, I liked it. I really liked it. It's slow.
Yeah.
It's slow, which is honestly, you know, that's on me. I had to check myself. I had to check myself because I was like, okay, it's slower than most of the movies that I'm used to.
Sure.
But I will say every single shot, the cinematography. Can we talk?
We can. Please. That's what we're here gorgeous. For.
The saturated color. I mean, everything about the movie just looked beautiful. Beautiful. You got to get into the right headspace when you watch this because you got to really pay attention. This
you
ain't
don't
no,
casually
like,
put this on.
Exactly. This can't be playing in the background while you do your chores. First of all, if you don't speak French, that's a bad idea because it is in French.
Subtitles.
Okay. Subtitles.
Yeah, can't be on your phone.
You can't be on your phone. No, you can't be One doing anything. Movies. You have to be staring at the scene.
This isn't Free Guy.
You were on we'll your never phone know. Watching Free Guy?
Yeah.
Mark, that's not good.
No, I would respect that movie and not go to it.
But I enjoyed it. You know what's weird is that I'm just curious about your takes on this movie. Would you consider this a gay movie?
I think it's very homoerotic. Maybe.
Right. But
and it's essentially about this man's unrequited, like even undealt with like gay desires that he himself probably has never really reconciled with. And like his
sure
his blows his whole life up, essentially.
But would you call it a gay movie?
Absolutely.
John, what about you?
I get what you're... When you say gay movie, like, you think, like, why are you saying it's not a gay movie? Because it doesn't feel, like, fabulous?
Well, it's...
Which I don't mean...
No, it's not Priscilla, like, Queen of the Desert, you know what I mean? Right, yeah. It's either Priscilla, Queen of the Desert or the straightest movie you've ever seen, right. Or, like, Mystic River. No, I mean, it's... Because I'm not totally sure. I mean, to call it, like, a gay movie, there has to be, like, homosexuality...
But somehow the whole thing is like male bodies, like men looking at men, like it's all, I mean, we will definitely going to be getting into it, but let's move on. Yeah. Hold on. Well, these are all things we will unpack. When
wait,
we go
no,
through 40
but I
want categories.
To know John's answer.
Yeah, well, John, what did you think of the movie?
What did I think of the movie? I mean, agree very much with Oscar in that I was like, this is slow. It was funny. I told my husband, this is the movie that Mark picked, and he laughed. he had already seen it. And another thing I should say, when Mark told me this was the movie he wanted to watch, he said, don't Google anything about it. He said, don't do anything. He said, especially the ending. He said, the ending's crazy.
Uh-huh.
And my husband laughed and said, oh, the movie that ends with a guy in a big dance number? And I was like, oh, Mark,
cool.
Mark said, don't do that.
Way
like,
to go, Brian.
The one thing. Well, he didn't know he wasn't supposed to do it. But I will
also
say
lied.
This.
I wouldn't say it's a big dance number.
Well, you, Mark, were like, the ending is crazy. Like, you were like, it's insane. And this was after we had recorded our Batman and Robin episode. And like, this movie is not crazy at all compared to Batman and Robin. Sure. So I was a little bit like, that's it. Like I was expecting it to be like full production number at the end.
Something like Hugh Grant and Paddington 2 in the prison. Yeah,
sure, exactly. Yeah, number. I was expecting like a huge, big production number. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was beautiful to look at. It takes its time. And it's sort of surprising to me that this was a movie that you would like, Mark, because you are so much, even though it is, what, an hour and a half?
Lean hour and a half.
Sure. I mean, if you really like watching scenes of soldiers going to attention and at ease back and forth and back and forth, Beau Travail, however you're supposed to say it, is the movie for you. It's a whole lot of that. It is beautiful. It is, but it is just like slow and sort of confusing. It doesn't set you up easily. Like it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like it takes a while to be like,
John,
who's this? What is this character? It reminded me in some ways of like a like documentaries from like the 70s.
Right. Where you have like to infer so much.
You have to just like, they just like those documentaries in the 70s, they just start the camera rolling. They're like, you figure out who's who and what's going on. You know what I mean?
You
no
do
Chiron. There's no, you know, talking head where someone's like, I'm this person and this is what I'm here for. It's just like, nope, figure it out. So it's very much that kind of movie. It does ask you, even if I did speak French, I think it would be a movie where you really do have to concentrate and pay attention to it to really understand what's going on and to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was beautiful. It's not a movie I would just be like, hey guys, let's just put this on and see what's, you know, like if I wanted someone else to watch it, I'd be like, hey, so 2 weeks from now, we're going to watch a movie and it's going to be not like slow and boring necessarily, but it's going to be slow. It's going to take its time. You have to be patient with it. But you'll be rewarded. And, you know, there is like, I don't regret it. I'm so happy I saw it. I think there's so much about it that I like. I would love to see other movies this director has done because my husband has seen most of her stuff. And he said most those have more story and clearer characters and all that stuff. Because also, if you go to IMDb for the cast, the first three actors have names. And then it's literally like 20 just legionnaires, and then it's just like another 40 names that have no characters. So there's just a whole lot of, it's going to take some time to figure out what this movie's about and who to pay attention to and what the story is, but it is really beautiful to look at, and it is very sad and moving in ways, but mm-hmm. I don't mean this as an insult, but it almost doesn't feel like a movie. Like it's not a movie in what you think of when you think of like what a movie is. And again,
what a movie is,
I think because it doesn't have like, it's not very clear with the narrative. It feels like more like a mood piece. And it feels like something that you could just watch scenes of it at a museum, like video art installation, more so than like, here's a narrative that is taking you through this film.
Right. And that's not to say that, you know, mood pieces aren't valid, you know.
Exactly. It's like, again, like it's not an insult. I don't say that in any way to be like it's bad or it's dumb or it fails at what it's trying to do. I think it is doing exactly what it wants to do.
Yeah.
And I think it does a good job of what it's trying to do. But it took me a while to be like, to go like, oh, this is what I'm watching.
Right. But to the credit of the film, I will say, and yes, it is a film.
Cinema. Wow. Right, no, cinema. Rabbit Grannies, I guess.
Rabbit Grannies is a movie.
I would call that a flick.
That's you're right, it's a flick. It's one of those movies that's is still sticking with me. I saw it yesterday afternoon and like I couldn't stop thinking about it, but mainly because of the question that I asked earlier of like, is this a gay movie? Because I was having a hard time trying to answer that question. First of all, there's no homosexual quote unquote act that happens in this movie. And I think I've been conditioned to watch these kind of movies and expect boys to kiss, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sure. That didn't happen. And so I was a little like, was I robbed of something? But what it did have was this weird voyeuristic, I sort of felt as the person watching this movie, I sort of felt like not dirty, like, but just very much like I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be watching.
Right. Like a voyeur.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, I shouldn't be watching these like secret lives of men, you know, you've heard secret life pets.
I've heard of that.
Right, right.
Well, there is going to be a Beau Travail ride at Universal off the leash. Good.
Yeah. Will the minions be there?
Yeah, they will be.
Okay, good. I would watch the movie as the minions, but in Beau Travail. I would see that. Yeah.
That's very French minions. But how about you, Mark? Why did you pick this movie? What is it about this
movie? Well, I bought it. It was Criterion was having one of their twice yearly 50% off sales. Mm-hmm. And like I had seen this movie. Ooh,
are
always
they struggling
like,
financially?
They just do that like twice a year. It's like 24 hour thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like my collection. I like stuff. So I was and I had always seen this movie like on lists and things, and I just like, what the hell? I'll just buy it. It was like $15 or whatever. It was like, and then I watched it and I would just like completely. I don't know. I just find it completely enrapturing. I find it so hypnotic. I love like just, you know, some people say things are a vibe. Like this movie is a vibe. It's definitely. And I like that it feels like just like, oh, this is doing something in this movie that you can't do in any other medium. Like this thing can't be told in a book. It can't be told in like a painting. It can't be told in any, like this is pure cinema. Like this is what movies can do best that nothing else can do. It just gets you in a headspace that you're transported to like another world, which is what I like about sci-fi movies too.
Right,
you are in this other world, in this like wild landscape that you never really like see. And it's so beautifully rendered, you know, it's so beautifully photographed. It has like an unreal quality to it. And then the ending is just so beautiful and powerful.
Okay, so speak on the ending, Mark. So for the listeners,
well, the whole time this movie we've been seeing, there's a lot of military like training exercise, and it's all like shot gorgeously, and like they had like this ballet choreographer come up with all of their like routines. So there's like a very artful quality to all the training exercises. And then at the end you see this guy we've been following, and it seems like last thing we saw, he's been kicked out of Foreign Legion.
Right.
He's back in Paris, has a gun on his chest. And the next thing you know, we're back in Djibouti in this nightclub. And he just has this explosive off, like totally unchoreographed, unlike all the other movements we've ever seen in the whole movie, explosion of just like passion, feeling, not thinking about his movements, just like feeling it and like just giving in to this thing that we haven't seen him do at all for the first like 90 minutes. And I think there's something like so beautiful and freeing, and then also sad about that at the same time. And then you're never going to hear Rhythm of the Night by Corona ever the same way again.
Ooh, 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 no. Triggered.
So I love this movie. I know it's not for everybody, but I think it's truly beautiful, powerful, and gorgeous in every possible way.
Yeah, I love it too. You know, there's an element to touch on what you mentioned earlier, Mark, like that sense of otherworldly sci-fi-ish
just
element
being taken
to
another place, you know?
But yeah, I think that's, to me, one of the biggest takeaways of this movie. It just, and this is not a negative at all, this is why I love this movie. It didn't feel real. It didn't feel like it took place in like...
There's like a dream
real
quality.
Life. Yeah. There's a dream quality to this. Also to your point of like the training scenes, which I could definitely see more of, but they were choreographed
right?
and they weren't really, Like there's this like weird Tai Chi moment where they were all like on top of this like giant mountain doing Tai Chi. It's like, what soldiers do that? Like soldiers don't do that. There's a scene where everyone, I think the most homoerotic scene in the whole movie is where they were training and they're like aggressively hugging each other.
That was so weird.
It was like, wait, this is training for these people. So like, it just didn't feel like this was part of like a real life. It felt like a fairy tale sort of,
sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And in that regard, I really, really loved it. My favorite scenes in the whole movie was the scenes at the club.
Yeah.
With all right. the women just yeah. sort of dancing very still, sort of very like stone-faced. It felt very ritualistic. Like this idea of like mating companionship yes. is not romance. It was just this is like just a mating dance that we do, but it's not something that we love doing. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So like that felt sort of just very odd. Yeah, just it was crazy. It didn't feel like real life.
Well, you know what is real life? Looking for the gayest movie ever made. And that's what we're doing. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, we will come up with a category that we'll use to judge all future movies. So this is our current top five gayest movies ever made. This is our current standings. Number five with an 89.70%, The Apple. Number four with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number three with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. Number one with a 94.83%, still unbeatable, Female Trouble.
I mean, I'm sensing a theme here. Have you guys ever covered Phantom of the Paradise?
No, but I love that movie.
Interesting. I feel like
that I saw you only really gave high. It 3 stars on Letterboxd though.
I did. I just saw it. I think because, and you know why, Mark? It's because I saw The Apple and I kept comparing it to The Apple every time.
Oh, that's unfair.
Oh, they're different. Yeah. Apple's kind of like a mess. And I feel like
Apple's more disco-y.
Right.
This is more glam rock. Yes, that's the big difference between the two.
Absolutely. They're worlds apart. They're completely different.
Which one's the flick and which one's a movie?
Yeah, Apple's the flick and Phantom of the Paradise is the movie.
Well, Oscar, for this first group of categories, these are the canon categories. So we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, how would you rate Beau Travail in actual gay characters?
Ooh, this is like it for me. Right. Like, I guess, oh God, I don't know. That's, oh.
Well, there's the main guy we are Galoop. Meant to assume Galoop that he's, he is, even though he doesn't seem to act on it.
But is he? Is he? Or is he? Or
he's definitely in lust with what's his face?
Or is there some weird? I think it's less about gay and more about like masculinity, right? About this idea.
So much about masculinity. This movie.
Like that lusting over, but I feel like wanting to be like. You know what I mean?
Well, those aren't also mutually exclusive.
Right, but Oscar's saying is like, but are they both here? Are they both present?
Exactly.
I think definitely the whole movie is triggered by Galoop's like desire for Satan. I don't know how to say his name. What I forget it. What is?
Yeah,
name?
We should do a blanket apology for any mispronunciations, which we've already done hundreds of. Yeah, but is it a jealousy? Because like Satan comes in and he like rescues another soldier and he's getting all this praise. And so is it like a jealousy in that? You've been heroic. Like we don't know much about Galoop, right. And so we don't know if he's like, I joined the Foreign Legion, because they say at the end, I guess we're spoiling at the end, but like because of stuff that he does, he gets kicked out of the Foreign Legion. And so, and someone even says like, this is your whole life has been about this. And so we don't know if like, he was like, you know, I've joined the Foreign Legion because I want to be a hero. I want to have that moment where I feel like I've saved someone's life. I've made a difference and he's never had it. Perhaps, who knows? We don't know that.
But I think we do know
he's like undressing him with his eyes. The whole, he's always like looking at him. Like that's lust. Yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
True,
it's, to me anyway. Sure. I think he's always like taking in his body. Like so much time is spent looking at like these men's bodies.
To be honest, so are we. We're doing just that, you know? And I think the director's doing it very purposefully, like check out these bodies, you know what I mean? But a lot of it, to John's point, is like power as well. Like this is a character,
of course,
like obsessed with power, and in that way that is tied to masculinity. The alpha, the most masculine, is always on top. And then in a way, is that also tied to the gay sort of power dynamic, sexuality, who's the top and who's the bottom? Oh, girl, you got me thinking all kinds of ways now.
Oh, my, this is only Lord. The first category.
I know.
And there's also Captain Bruno.
Right.
A rumor dogged him in Algeria. Hello.
Right.
What was this rumor?
True, true. I mean, I'm going
to
give
there's also
it-
after that grappling part, they cut right to Bruno, like staring as the men, like as they're grappling.
Sure.
Right.
Like,
right. But I think in that regard, doesn't.
But here's the thing, too. I feel like if any of these characters did have sex with one another, it would always end with one of them killing each other. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like you, John.
They don't have a sense of like affection. It's just almost like a conquering. Like it just seems like it, like they wouldn't know what they.
No, I do think they are friends.
The car, like, who wouldn't know what to do once they got, like, they have this, they have these urges, they have these desires, but they don't know how to express them. They don't know how to deal with them. And so they like sublimate them in these
like
ways.
Like, for example, for me watching this movie, I was weirdly really uncomfortable in the scene where they're like, it's someone's birthday and they bring out the cake and they're all like talking and hanging out with each other, because I felt so like triggered back to junior high school and like all the super like boys who were like always like making fun of me and stuff like that. So I was just like, oh, that's that kind of energy. But also that is also like a gay energy as well. Or maybe that like gay fantasy.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, a lot this is the Foreign Legion. So like a lot of these guys tend to like not have personal life or have family, you know, like
they come from
guy,
broken homes.
They
don't
come
have
from like, a, they don't like, so this is almost like a chosen family as, a, as it was, you know, I don't think 100% of these guys are gay. I think definitely the main lead guy, Galoop and Bruno, to me, I think those are like the two where they at least have like gay desires.
Right. Yes. They're,
but are they out gay people?
TL. Absolutely. They're definitely, absolutely not.
Well, the other thing too is like, because for the most part, it's all men. Like they all live in a world of just men. So like what happens to guys? You know what I mean? Like, because like we all have these sexual desires, but if you're only surrounded by men, like, does it have to come out that way because you have no real choice or option?
Well, they and, do go into town every now and then.
Right.
That's and the true. One Gloop even has a girlfriend.
Right. But then the parts when they're, you know, it's sort of like when the cat's away, the mice will play, and the mice in this are the men. And that's why it's so interesting to me that the movie was directed by a woman, because it does have that vibe of like, this is what men are this what men are really like when there's no women around. I don't know. It just felt very, I guess maybe in that way it is very gay.
So what do you want to give
if you subtract women? It has to be gay.
Well, you know, a movie without women is what? Is gay. Is and in that way, I guess maybe it is like Billy Budd.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
gonna
like
give
the Rock,
it a
that movie.
I'm gonna give it a 65.
65.
I'm 65. Gonna give it a 60.
60. I'm gonna give it a 66. Given an average of 63.67, which is about 32 points higher than the Beastmaster. All right. Our next category. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Beau Travail and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yes.
Are you
those
kidding
little
me?
White hats? The white I hats. Mean, the
military is a category.
Yep.
I listen. If a drag queen hired dancers to do that weird "quote unquote" basic training kind of stuff,
right?
I would be throwing coins at that drag queen. 100%.
Coins, dollars? Not dollars.
You would go. Ow, my
eye. I'm on a budget.
Oh, I see.
Bitcoin. It'd be Bitcoin. You'd be throwing
Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm gonna send some Bitcoin her way. Yes.
You'd be Venmoing your phone off, right? Yeah, and also like there were a lot of scenes of like local, like the locals in Djibouti who had like these big, beautiful, colorful fabrics and stuff like that. Like
God,
the, like those rugs. That scene with the rugs and stuff like that. So like there's, I mean, it's not like yes, queen, that look, but there's stuff.
Right.
Yeah, there's some cool. Yeah, I feel like a drag queen would be. It would take a specific kind of drag queen, but
yeah,
100% a drag queen would.
Yeah,
definitely.
On a very specific theme tonight, but yes.
Yes. Also, honestly, I could see a drag king performing the final 5 minutes of the movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And what you a great what I mean? Song! Get everybody going.
Exactly. This is gonna get an 81.
81.
Yes.
despite all these things that we've said, I still think it's mostly just guys in fatigues and sometimes in tank tops, sometimes with their shirts off. So I will give it, I'm going to go 60 again.
60, still pretty high. I'm going to go 55. It's my
really?
Wow. Yeah, I think it is like, it's not like huge, but it is like, I do like the one shirt. They wear that one shirt a lot that has like the weird like straps on the side.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
what's
yeah,
the
yeah.
deal with that shirt?
Yeah. Also, like, you know, that like weird full, like the animal antler full of salt or whatever, that weird thing.
Oh, that when they're like at the market.
A drag queen would put that on her. Cameron Michael has put that on her head and made a look at it.
And
her,
lost.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
No, she won that lip sync.
Yeah. Oh, did she? Oh, good.
She'd definitely be top three.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's got a 65.33 in Drag Queen Inspiration, which is 1 point higher than Best in Show. All right. Our next category, gay icons. Well, I think to gay film lovers, Claire Denis or any female director at some level is a gay. I'm not saying this is even over 50, but it's not nothing.
I mean, the song Rhythm of the Night.
That's
sort
a great
of really
song.
Brought me back to the 90s.
That's gay culture right there.
That's gay culture. Is there something about gay, just about I'm going to go join the Foreign Legion?
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, French. I mean, they invented gay. So
I thought that was Greece. Yeah.
No, they invented gay sex. French invented the gay,
gay style.
State
sensibility.
Of mind. Yeah, exactly.
I see. Mm-hmm. Baguettes rhymes for a reason.
Yeah, this is probably like a 20 for me.
20.
It's not iconic in that regard, no.
Although, what would you think if like you went over to someone's place and they had a poster of this movie?
Well, it depends.
Would that tell you like, oh, is this a gay person or a straight person? Like, if you were unsure, what would that be? Is that a coded?
I'm not going to anyone's house until I know, first of all. I'm not saying this house until I know. Are you vaccinated? Do you have a gun? And are you gay?
Oh my God. Yes, that, please, let's normalize that. Please. I would say either gay or just like a bisexual film student. So in that way, yeah, maybe I'll raise it up to 25%.
25.
Yeah. I'm gonna stay strong at your 20.
20. I'll match your, I'm gonna say 30.
Okay.
Given an average of 25, but I think we're going to make a lot of points here. The male gaze.
Oh, come on.
How horny is the camera for the male form?
Okay.
I mean, this is something for everybody in this movie.
Everybody?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different like people from different backgrounds, ages a bit.
Yeah, sure.
It's all one sort of body type though.
But I would think even the main guy, Galoob, there's something very attractive about him.
Well, that's the weird thing. At first, when I first saw him, I was like, well, actually, I was like, yikes. But then throughout the movie, I was like, okay, maybe he can get it. And he did have this weird, like, I call it a Ninja Turtle body, which is like a six pack, but also like, it's not like a slim six pack. It's got like, it looks like he's got a turtle shell on.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting. All the guys are in really good shape, but they're so lean. Like they're not in good shapes in the way that we think, like an American movie with a bunch of soldiers in it. Like all the guys would have like these rippling muscles and stuff like that. And I thought these guys were just so lean. Like their training was all just about like getting them lean. And I thought their torsos for the most part to me just look like rib cages with like a treasure trail. Like it was just like very, just like literally bare bones. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't a lot of like extra sculpting with the body as it
were. Thought they looked malnourished.
A little bit, yeah. I think they were like, they just like the training sort of like, I mean, obviously just like also like the food, but it was just like, it was just like worn themselves down. Like it was that kind of aesthetic for everybody. And that's why I sort of disagree when you said there's something for everybody.
Well, I just said in terms of like,
I mean, there was
the UN, you know what
there
I mean?
There was like, no like fat bodies there. So like in that regard, it's like, well, what about, right. What about the plus size lovers? You know what I mean?
Where's the bears? Probably, where's the bear?
Well, there's Commander Bruno. Commander Bruno. He's definitely
yeah, but
a bear.
Where's he? He should have been in the Speedo at least one scene.
Sure.
You know,
but
I will say,
was.
I mean, that's true. There, I mean, the male gaze was very apparent, but it was done in a way where you were like, it's like a locker room sort of male gaze where you're like sort of looking at somebody, but then being like, okay, I'm going to be chill about it.
It's not thrown in your face.
It did feel, you could tell it was a female director because it wasn't.
It wasn't pervy.
Yeah, it wasn't pervy at all. It was just a bunch of men like aggressively hugging each other or like doing these exercises and getting very sweaty, but it wasn't.
It's actually kind of sweet. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's also like so much of like men, like shots of men looking at men, you know, like there's so much of like the two main guys like looking at their like underlings, essentially, like so many shots of them just looking at them, like when they're in the pool or in the ocean swimming and like, you know, Bruno's staring at them through the fence.
Yes. Oh, I love that shot. That was a beautiful shot. But that immediately brings me to like sort of a daddy son dynamic, which I'm like, oh, okay.
Not opposed to?
Got to go off, I guess.
So what do you want to give this for?
The male gaze is pretty high. I'm going to say 90, 92.
92.
I'm going to go, I'll go 90.
90. I mean, this is 100 for me. This is like mostly male gaze, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think it would have been very different if your beloved, what's his name, who did Batman and Robin?
Joel Schumacher.
If Joel Schumacher directed this, it would be a very different movie.
Most movies would be different if Joel Schumacher directed them.
That would have been 100 male gays.
Joel Schumacher. I don't know, because we're looking at men the whole time. Like literally,
it would have been like lustier. It would have been like a little more pervy and dirty.
Yeah, all the uniforms would have nipples.
Although I did love that the shorts were like really
short. Short. Very.
Like you got like 3/4 thigh in this movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
To me, this is definitely 100. I'm giving it a 94. Which is 3 points higher than Hello Stranger, the movie. Okay. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz. Well, the first time we see the Legion, I would say, is just like shadows over the landscape. And then there's a funeral procession, literally starting with the trumpet.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah. Fanfare.
And then
yeah.
Entering into France via the subway escalator at the end, I think is really cool. Where you just see him on the escalator, then like the city is revealed.
Right, but this, to me, it's not like pizzazz, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like-
No, it's not Beetlejuice.
This movie is pretty anti-pizzazz.
Yeah, exactly. It is like, it's sort of like a sad girl sort of entrance.
Moping against the wall. Her ankles collapsing.
But I mean, you're right, Mark. There are some elements there that we have to respect. So keeping that in mind, I'm going to give this 30.
30.
I'll give it a 23.
23. I'm going to give it a 60 because I think it's all there, but mostly in the editing, I would say. Giving it
But that's not entering.
Well, it's like you're seeing one shot, then it's cutting to something.
Like
I don't know.
That's not an entrance.
You're being introduced to them.
Right.
That's introductions with pizzazz. That's not entrances with pizzazz.
Well, introduced to the movie.
Again, that's introduction, not entrance.
Okay, I'm keeping it at 60. All right, next category, Hell on Heels. Feisty women. There is the one woman in France who's complaining to the newspaper tender that she wants a Swiss newspaper.
That is very funny.
But not very high on Hell on Heels.
That's very funny. No. There was also one scene where they're talking about like the rugs.
The mats, and she was shading the other woman about her
exactly.
How much do you charge? Well, that was during the celebration.
I made it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I love that. I was like, yes, work.
There's also the woman who throws the rock at a camera.
Oh, yeah.
Rooting for her.
What was her name?
She didn't have a name.
She was a woman in this movie, therefore she did not have a name. No. This is getting a 14.
14.
Yeah, I'm going to go 9.
9. I'll go 15 for the rock thrower. Giving it a 12.67. All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is this movie?
There's a couple things. There was the death because of a random helicopter accident.
Yeah. Right?
There was the bloody foot on the beach. There's some guy, one of the soldiers had a bloody foot and they were all like around him.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
But I don't know if that was macabre. That was actually kind of sensual.
True. I guess just blood on
sometimes
the beach.
It's a fine line.
Right. That's true. I've seen Poison Ivy.
What's it, the one guy just being like in the salt mines, just like covered in, not mines.
I was just gonna say, like, right,
left, being left to die with a faulty compass,
right,
sending someone to their death. Calm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, remnants of Western imperialism.
Okay.
All right. All
the Coca-Cola sign, the Sprite sign.
So nothing more macabre than a Sprite.
Look, I'm not saying it. I mean, to me, it conveys stomach flu. So that's what I think of. Derelict tanks, swimming with a knife, forcing someone to dig a hole. That's pretty fucked up.
But is it macabre? I think macabre is more of a tone.
Sure. Right. There's that salt-covered skull you mentioned.
The salt, exactly. Right. And I think that's, like, to me, the most macabre part of the movie.
And then essentially,
like, in the salt.
The lead guy, it's implied, I think, that he kills himself.
Yeah, you could see a reading of it where that dream is like him going to heaven. Because he does that, meticulously makes his bed, lies down on it with a gun.
Right.
And then the final scene is just him solo dancing to Rhythm of the Night.
Well, I mean, one could say, okay, now that you mentioned this, okay, John, now, okay, things are starting to click here. Wait a second, wait a second. So, like, because the whole movie is just him recollecting his, like, past experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what if that was all sort of this, like, weird fairy tale in his mind? That's how he saw it. You know what I mean? Maybe the reality was a lot more macabre than it actually was, you know, since in his memory, the colors were more vibrant. He was sort of like, you know, the man trapped between his passions and his responsibility.
Sure.
So, yeah. And that in a way is sort of just like a little sad, a little depressing.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, my macabre score goes up a little bit higher now.
Okay.
And it's getting a 42.
I think there's some dark, weird stuff in here. So I'm going to go 53.
I'm going to go 65 for sending someone out to their death with a faulty compass. Nasty, giving it a...
It is like, it's not Hansel and Gretel. This is like a fairy tale. Damn.
Mm-hmm. Giving it a 53.33, which is 12 points higher than White Christmas. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's a lot of like sun off the water, which is lovely.
Lovely. The dance club, long shadows.
Oh, I love that. The lighting on the dance club is amazing. Even in that final scene, the lighting of that scene was so perfect. But yeah, dramatic lighting plays a huge role with the shadows, casting those shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the boys lit by the cars on the street.
100%. This is getting high marks for me. This is 89.
I think for the most part, though, it does feel so real, that which I don't ding it like artistically. So I'm going to give it a 70.
I got to go 90 because I think the cinematography is gorgeous. Giving it 83, which is 1 point higher than The Fifth Element.
Ooh.
Okay. I would say this is a more visually beautiful movie than The Fifth Element, but that's just me personally. All right, next category, vibrato.
So this is always, in addition to literal vibrato, I mean, anytime they take a moment, give you a little extra, zhuzh it up. You don't need it, but they give it to you and you like it.
I think it's pretty extra to show so much of the training sequences. Like, they don't have to show you, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, story. Yeah. It's just, like, it's just adding to the whole vibe of the movie, you know, the whole ritualistic nature of their lives.
True. My biggest complaint, though, was that there wasn't enough training sequences. So.
You wanted more. I love the training.
More.
It
would be, like, 3 hours of Rhythm Nation.
I honestly
oh,
never
my God.
Seen...
Could you imagine?
I've never seen things like that in a movie. I thought they were so like amazing. I don't know. I thought it was gorgeous.
Oh, 100%. Me too. And I loved it so much. I just wanted to see more. Well, it's like, yeah, we're fully here. Like, what army, what weird, like, how are we fighting in this war?
And there's also no one to fight. They're just there training for no
action. Just hugging each other. Such a,
yeah.
That's all they're doing. Hugging and swimming each
there's
other.
There's also that weird, the quiet slow motion punch.
Yeah, that was even... Fun. Because there was no like real acts of violence in this movie, right?
No,
the right, death, you never see them.
Right, you never see them. It's all sort of, and even the most violent, the climax. I mean, the thing that sends him
to the club,
like, to the club
in the sky,
is right. done. Is done so like sort of elegantly and dancerly. It's like, oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of vibrato,
I don't feel like there's a lot of moments that they sort of take and they're like, let's take this thing that has to happen in the story and zhuzh it up. It's more like that's just the mood of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think there's, yeah, I'm giving that.
Well, can vibrato ever be used not in service of story?
Sure. But I'm talking about like, there's not like a moment when you say like, there's so much of the training sequences. That's not like they take a training sequence and amp it up. Like it's exactly. not like they're taking like, it and like turning it into like
You don't think the
like
movements were like more than normal, like more than just, or even just like the angles of how it was photographed is just like more.
But I don't think it's like.
They're making it more than just training sequence. It's making it it's this weird, like, I don't know, elevated artistic thing.
I don't think they went quite as far to me that would make it feel like really vibrato.
All right. Well, what do you want to give it? Oscar,
this is getting a 13.
What about is his final dance vibrato?
No,
because you don't think it's extra.
You've never seen people dance like that. I've danced like that. I danced like that before. Like
you've never seen Oscar dance.
Then. Yeah,
I guess not.
You've never seen me dance. I dance like that.
Well, I'd love to see it.
Well, when the world opens up.
Okay.
I'll give it a 27.
27. I'll give it a 50, right in the middle. Giving an average of 30, which is 0.67 points higher than I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category, footwork.
I mean, this is
footwork.
This one, I think, is, I mean, there's so much training, so much marching, so much stuff going on.
Dancing, the opening club. Dance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
they're always on the move.
I mean, is there footwork? Yes.
They even work on that one guy's foot.
Yeah,
that's true.
And Galoop puts his foot on Satan's face. Satan, I'm kidding.
Oh, that's true. That's
to like
true.
Wake him up. Pretty rude.
I am going to give this 96.
96.
Yeah, I'm going to go 97 for footwork. I think it's pretty constant.
97. I'm just going to go 100 because why not? Giving it 97.67, which is 4 points higher than Point Break.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. Next category. Spank bank deposits. Anything going to file what is spank bank?
I mean.
There is the one shot of the guy in the shower. That shot from a very
that's like
high
a full
angle.
That's full frontal, babe.
Yeah. Very flattering angle.
Very flatter.
I'm
I mean,
sure
for that body
serious.
Type. Yes.
For that body. He looked amazing.
Okay, what is the definition for spank bank deposit?
Is there any imagery or moment here you would file away to your spank bank for your personal time?
Yeah, I mean, those guys were hot. Again, I didn't see sort of my kind of body being,
sure.
you know, reflected right. on that.
Well, meeting, you're going to hate the new Gossip Girl.
No bears in Gossip Girl?
No.
Well, that's unfortunate. I am going to give it, 85.
85.
I agree. There's a lot of man flesh on display. There's so much of like the same, and there's not like a specific moment where I'm like, yes, that scene, yes, that moment. But they obviously are all very like lean and sexy, and there's sort of like something sexy about just seeing them like be so active. You know what I mean? So it's not just like they're there. They're like, you know, they're not just like, it's not like a picture of someone standing there. They're like moving and doing a lot of stuff, which is always
that's the good thing about movies.
Yeah,
people move.
Yeah, but there's not a ton. I'm going to go 40.
40.
Mm.
I'm going to go with Oscar. I'm going to give it 90 up there, giving it a 71.67. All right. Last of the canon categories, Oscar. On a scale of 0 to 100, I don't want to send you on an existential crisis with this question, but on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this movie to a gay person?
Oh, to a gay person? Yeah, pretty high. I would definitely recommend this movie to anybody. It's like visually alluring. It's like beautiful to look at. I would definitely recommend it to a gay person to ask them, is this gay? Because inquiring minds need to know. So yes, 100% would recommend.
What does your gut tell you if it's gay? Like if you don't, like not even thinking about it, like.
Well, it's interesting. It's like, instinctively I want to say yes, but the more and more I watch the movie, the less and less I thought it was. I am truly torn. I am like 51% it is a gay movie, 49% it isn't.
I get what you're saying, because it's hard to know like what was his name, Galoop, wanted. Like, it wasn't like, I want to be with this person and I can't. You know what I mean? So, like, it's hard.
Well, I think it was, he was confused too. I think he was all mixed. I think it was like combinations of lust, jealousy, you know,
right.
passion. I think it's all of that. I don't think it's like right. one thing. So I think it to me, it's definitely has gay themes and it's like huge homoeroticism.
Right. Like Billy Budd. And in that yeah. regard, yes, it is a gay movie, but I also like that it's nebulous. Like it's not yeah. really, and also
it's
like
not telling you what to think and like, this is why this is bad or this is why this is good.
Right.
Just and left I to think your own devices
to speak on like, I've not, you know, I'm not straight. I've never been straight.
What?
I, if never. You can
junior
actually
high,
believe.
Come never. On.
You weren't. No, no. And here's why. And here's why I've never been straight.
Why have because you never been straight?
Because I don't know if a straight person has had those feelings before and then just been straight. Like, I'm sure that happens.
Of course. Well, because like gay people have like feelings for like women from time to time. It's like a spectrum. You know what I mean? Like, well, you have like feelings, but it doesn't mean it will pass or, you know, there's not, I don't know. It's not like hard and all or nothing. I don't think it's black and white.
Yeah. I mean, I've had feelings for girls, but they've never been that intense. It's just very strange. It's like,
maybe you got to join the Foreign Legion.
And you know what? Honestly,
you would
cares?
Look so cute
who?
In that hat.
I actually, yeah.
You got the legs for those
You've
shorts.
Got a great head for hats, though. I've often said that about
thank
you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. And I would look good in those shorts. You know, would. They need my body. People need to gaze at my body, truly.
Yeah. And you're as flexible as they are.
Not anymore.
In so many ways. John, yeah, what do you want to give it? Yeah, please. Can I get you on the phone to save my life?
yeah, I agree. I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful movie, but I do think there's a way in which you have to be like, you wouldn't be like, oh yeah, see it. In the way that you would, you know, be like, oh, go see Swan Song or go see this movie. You'd have to be like, okay, so here's what it is. You have to sort of set the table a little bit for the movie. And there definitely are gay people who I'd be like, you're not going to get into this at all. But it is beautiful and is really wonderful and we're seeing. So I'm going to go 90.
90. I mean, I made you guys watch it, so I got to give it 100. Giving it and I got to say, I watched it for the second time and it really holds up on the second viewing.
And I appreciate you. So, I mean, I need to tell you, Mark, there was no way in hell I would have ever discovered this movie if it weren't for you recommending it to me. So for that, I appreciate and thank you.
Well, let's thank the Criterion Half Off Sale. Ultimately,
let's hear it for sales. No, this definitely is a movie that I feel like I want to revisit it in a year. So like now that I know what it is.
Yeah,
to sort
sure.
of get to take it and not and to allow myself to, because I think that's what can sometimes happen with a movie or maybe just me. But I think when you're confused, you can prevent you from letting go and sort of surrendering to a movie. And so I think like once you know, like, oh, it's you're not gonna know, like, you know what I mean, like it's not like you've missed something, you know, then I can relax more. So I think like having seen it once, watching it again, I think I would appreciate it on a whole other level.
That is something that reminds me of, like, I used to go to, like, you know, in San Jose or whatever, I used to go to like film festivals and we go see movies and have no idea what they were. Mm-hmm. Like just go, we only knew the title,
right?
And like, that is somehow like, that's like exciting to me in a way. Like, I don't know what right. this is going to be. And just like, I'm just going to go in with an open mind, open ears, and just like, let's see what's happened. And like, especially now, that's so hard to have experiences like
that's
that.
That's downright impossible.
Days.
I think also because, I don't know, like, I miss that because I felt like I was a lot more bold about going into a movie that I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
Or like, but for some reason, it's like always such an impulsive thing that I do when someone tells me a movie I should watch, I immediately Google it.
Right.
And if like, there's well, a okay, lesson to yeah. be learned from this is let's stop doing that. If a friend that you love and care about tells you to watch a movie,
just watch
take
it.
Their word for it.
Just do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Just do it. You don't need to Google or research it. The house down boots. Just watch
right?
it.
Mm-hmm. Because what's the worst that can happen? You're maybe slightly bored for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You've been bored before. You got over it.
Just barely.
Just barely. All right. Now we're into the wheel category.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. As you can see, we're going to spin it four times. Whatever category randomly pops up. That's how we will judge the movie. And after that, we will all come up with a category together.
Amazing.
Can you imagine? You like
technology is
Oscar.
Great sometimes.
Sometimes. We don't like Google, though, right?
No, Google can fuck itself.
All right. Well, from Wayne's World, we got usage of a Queen song.
A Queen. Well, is Corona a Queen? We love her. Is that the group name?
Is that a person or a group? I think that's a group.
I think it's a group. But on the Spotify, my art for it is a pretty lady smiling. I think she's maybe the vocalist.
I mean, she's a queen.
And that is a song for, that must be, have they ever used that in Drag Race?
No, but they should.
I don't think so.
They should. It's a great song.
It's a great song. But probably a lip sync song for like the international season or something. They wouldn't do it in the US.
Denmark, definitely.
Definitely Drag Race Denmark.
They just announced Drag Race Philippines.
I know, it's very exciting.
Well, what do you want to give this for a queen? There's also the Neil Young song. He's not really a queen, I would say, but there's a Neil Young
song.
That's a bit of a stretch.
Wow, that was...
I just wanted to mention another song.
That's what that
was. I just wanted to mention
Neil Young's like a queen song. He's a queen.
No, I said there's also the Neil Young song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting
suddenly this movie is straight again. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And there's another like dance song in the opening.
Right. I loved it. It sounded like your Eurovision song.
Yeah.
Which I love. Well, I mean, queen, there isn't any. So zero.
There's no actual queen.
For Rhythm of the Night, I will give it a 10.
10. I'll give it a 30 for Rhythm of the Night, because that did become one of my most played songs of 2020, Rhythm of the Night. I was listening to it like once a day after I saw this movie.
We should be clear, we're not talking about the song Rhythm of the Night that is in like Moulin Rouge.
Right.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Right. Oh, Corona's rhythm of the night.
Corona, thank you. Normally a name we don't love.
Exactly.
But a beer we're okay with is if there's a lime and a salted rim.
Okay. Bondage.
Okay. I don't think there was any bondage.
It's not like explicit, but I guess you could say there's like maybe emotional bondage.
Oh, smart.
Like all the rules that they have to follow.
Yeah.
Being legionnaires.
Right. And such strong power structures.
This felt like military enough that it like sort of crosses over into like sort of like a kink vibe, you know?
Yeah. Like if the birthday party cameras had been rolling a little bit longer.
Right, exactly. Somebody would have been tied down. Yeah. It's like if you're like looking at porn and you're like in the military section, then eventually you
what?
Make your way
what are you
to the
talking
BASF.
About? Mm-hmm. Look at porn.
It's the algorithm. That's what
Oscar.
It does.
Exactly. It's the algorithm. No, you don't watch porn, Mark. You have this movie to.
Yeah, I don't need porn. I got Neil Young's song Safeway Cart to get me off. So what do you want to give this for bondage?
For the sort of insinuation of bondage?
Sure.
35.
For the insinuation of bondage, I'll go 15.
15. I'll go 30. Giving an average of 26.67. The last movie that had bondage was The Fifth Element, and that got a 69.33.
Oh, wow.
But she had that bandage dress, you know, that
right,
was a lot
right,
of that too.
Yes.
Yeah. Makeover montage.
Well,
I mean, there is a scene where some guy's getting the crew cut. He's getting his head shaved. It's not a montage. It's just one shot, but
there's not a lot of montages in this movie.
No.
Maybe when he makes his bed, but I think that's all like pretty straightforward.
It's not like all the bed. Wouldn't it be great if it's every bed he's ever made? That's a makeover montage.
Ooh, that's a makeover montage for sure.
This is every bed I've ever made.
Yeah, there is no montage. I would say like maybe the whole course of this movie is a makeover montage.
No.
Wow, okay.
People have tried to make that argument before. He shuts it down real fast. No. There was a lot of like shots of them ironing.
That's true. Someone pointed out that there's a lot of them doing like feminine tasks, like domestic stuff, like cooking, preparing meals, like mending clothes and doing all that stuff. So
and in a way,
dichotomies within them.
There's elements of trying to make that Russian guy more French.
Teaching him French. That was a cute little scene.
Mm-hmm.
Underwear is sleep.
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 12.
Twelve.
I was going to say 13.
13. I'm going to stick to my guns and say 5. I'm giving it an average of 10. All right, this is our last wheel category before we come up with a category, Oscar. Can you imagine?
Okay, tan.
Tan. How tan is this movie?
Well, they're by the beach, I guess.
Yeah, they're in the sun a lot.
They're in the sun a lot, but are they like tan?
I think they're pretty tan. The main object of lust is pretty tan.
Yeah.
You don't think?
Yeah, tan, but not tan enough. You know what I mean?
What's tan enough?
It doesn't feel like copper, Tony. You know?
Exactly. I need to see some tan lines. I need to see, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, just like lying out in the sun on a towel.
You want like Hard Bodies, that movie.
What?
Do you know Hard Bodies? They used to show on HBO all the time. Do you know this one, John?
I don't.
It's like a 80s like sex comedy where like a bunch of dudes go to Greece. You're not missing anything.
Oh my gosh. this is a 50.
50.
50.
Yeah, 50 sounds right. I'll go 50 as well.
Yeah, I'll go 50. Giving it a 50. All right, the time has come for us to add a category. So what do we think? Any thoughts?
I wrote down fetishizing creases in uniforms.
Or it's almost like fussy ironing or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because they were really, that was like a thing. Because the creases was the thing that he talked to that.
Yes.
The Galoop, the main guy, was like sort of like drilling into them when it came to their housework, as it were. And it like when he was very meticulous when he was making his bed.
Yeah. What about just like men doing chores! Exclamation mark.
Men doing chores.
Oh, men doing chores! Mom, exclamation mark and question mark and tarabang. Men doing chores.
Can you imagine? There used to be like, I think it was a Tumblr account of like porn for women, and it was just like men ironing or cleaning, that kind of stuff.
I saw that calendar. Yeah.
I do like something about like the fussy ironing, like meticulousness is something. Meticulous wardrobe care. Meticulous laundry.
I like the word fussiness. I want to like
fussy.
Use that. Fussy wardrobe.
Fussy laundry.
Fussy laundry.
I saw her once at the Offbeat.
It gives a great brunch.
Yeah. I like fussy laundry.
Yeah, fussy laundry.
Fussy laundry. All
and right, it just cool. Sounds funny.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you want to, what would you give Beau Travail in fussy laundry?
Pretty high. I mean, that's a big, I think that's a big plot element theme in the movie.
Big plot element.
Big theme. I'm going to say 90.
90.
I'm also going to say 90. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll also say 90. Give an average of 90. All right. Now, Oscar, we're into the bonus categories.
So these categories, as the name implies, are bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's fine. It doesn't work against the movie. Right. These are just extra bonus points. So we're going from 0 to 10 for these.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first one, musical potential. Could Beau Travail be turned into a musical?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, you would have to like really reach for some songs.
Sure.
But, and I don't think it'll be like a jukebox musical, but
they would have to add a lot of like plot elements.
They would have to add a lot of plot elements.
Otherwise, it could make it almost be all dream ballets. Like if you just want to
work
dream
as a ballet, I think it would work.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, absolutely. That's true. Does that count?
Sure.
Category.
I mean, at some points, yeah. I think what it would to make it a musical, you know, like with musicals, especially musical numbers, like you tend to get interior, you get to get inside characters' heads. So I wonder if that would work against what is so sort of like compelling about the movie is that there is the mystery, is that we aren't quite sure what's going on with everybody. Whereas, like, if any of these characters had to like turn and sing a song, they usually would be like, here's what's going on inside.
It's weird that my commanding officer is staring at me.
Yeah, so in a way, a musical would help the plot of this movie.
But I think would undermine what is so special about it.
Right, that's true.
I don't think there's too much mystery, though, about like what people's motivations are in this, though.
But I think we've been talking a lot about like, is it this? Is it that? You know, like there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, to me, I think it's pretty clear that it's like lust, power, passion, all of that stuff.
See, but as a gay man, that's what
okay.
you want to
well,
believe.
Yeah. Isn't this okay? I don't know how. That's the only perspective I can speak from. So,
I think as a ballet it would do really well, and I would.
What already has
love,
the choreography done?
I mean, exactly. Yeah, the choreography is down, and I think in terms to see like. an all-male ballet. Ooh, sold. I'm sold. I am sold.
You're sold. I can also see this done like in like a smaller venue, but almost maybe this is done like in the round. You like, yeah, you know, sure, what I mean?
Then it has that feeling of like the part of what is, you, some of the reviews talked about of like, it's not staged in a way, like in a very like traditional way. So like, right, in the round, it's right, like you can't really, like with a traditional proscenium stage, you can be like, here's the vision, here's the point of view, here's the perspective.
Like
in
Fun the round, Home.
You're sort of a little bit like, well, like you're getting where your ticket is.
And also Ring in of terms K's. Of the, in terms of the gaze, yeah, that's a 360 gaze too.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Have you been in that club? 360 gaze?
They only allow 360 gaze in there though.
That's, yeah, too many in the times of COVID. That's still too many, I say.
Well, they're, you know, they're running, you know, their business is not doing so.
It should be 160 in the age of the pandemic era. Oscar, what do you want to give this for musical potential?
I'm going to give it a 6.
6.
I'm going to give it a 1 because I think so much of what is exciting and special about the movie would be, as you said earlier, Mark, like it, the only cinema can do this. And
that's
so,
true.
Yeah.
But it could be a musical. So I'll give it a 6.
Anything could be a musical, right?
I don't know if it'd be great. I think it'd be mostly like stripped down, a lot of, you know, atonal music probably on the score.
Ooh.
Maybe Annie Lennox.
Get her. If we can get her. She's always making Christmas albums. All right, our next category, Queer Menace. Well, Galoop does say something vague and menacing takes hold of him when the new guy shows up.
I mean, yeah. I mean, talk about
his
gay menace.
The queer menace. Yeah. Yeah. He is kind of the queer menace.
Yeah, that's a 9 for me.
A 9.
I guess so, but I don't think, I think if you think of like queer menace as like this queer like character or person has come to our community and is, and we're scared of them. I don't think like Satan sent, if that's how you say his name. I don't think he's.
No, we're saying Galoop is the, his.
Yeah, Galoop is
the guy who sends him out to die.
Yeah, but life. I don't know. To me, it's.
He's definitely a queer menace to Santan.
Society.
And society. And to messy beds.
What could be queerer than a messy bed? I'm still going to go 1.
1. I'm going to go with Oscar and give it a 9. Give it an average of 6.33. All right, our next, this one's going to be tough. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, there's the woman who throws a rock.
I mean, yes, and then there is the punch. The punch is a literal big swing.
Yeah, but this is character actress, unfortunately.
Not character slash actress. Like I thought.
No, you can't be both. It's one or the other.
Margot Martindale has to come in and do like a Scottish accent.
What do we got? Just give me the sides.
Yeah, this is a stretch.
Bit of a
2.
Stretch. A 2.
I'll give it a 1 for that rock.
I'm giving it a 1. That's the same thing you said after Jungle Cruise. All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is this movie?
I don't think it's witchy at all.
I'm trying to find witchy moments, but I don't, that skull is pretty witchy, but no.
Is there something witchy about like the ritual, like when they're like the, especially the one training where they're all like in a circle and Galoop's in the center,
right?
It almost has, it reminded me of like the end of The Witch when all the girls are together and they're like in the, you know, in the ring in the forest flying up,
right?
That almost
when they're
like
living deliciously. Yeah,
they're finally living deliciously and good for them. Look, I'm not saying this is a 10, but I'm just saying, oh, there's a coven almost element to,
you know,
some of,
I mean,
these movements. And
I mean, yeah, in a way, dance is a sort of ritualistic and sort of, you know, pagan practice. So
I've heard the maze
about the
heard
rhythm
of,
the night. Which
and the rhythm of the night.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
It's an iconic Halloween song. So
yes,
in that regard, it's getting a 3.
3.
I'm going to have to go 0. I just don't think there's any witches or much witchy.
Oh, have
in this
fun,
movie.
John. Give it something.
I'll give it a 0.5.
Okay. I'll give it a 3. Giving it a 2.17. All right. Next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Now, this was tough. I don't have French Wikipedia. That was really hard to read. I couldn't find anything on any of the actors.
I don't
even
think
like
any of
if they're married or anything. I don't think
any of those actors were queer. At least I don't think so.
There's one of the bonus, this isn't anything to do with that, but one of the bonus features on the, disc, it's the director says, like, this was like the country of France came to her and said, we want you to make a movie about foreignness. And she's like, all right. And like the first thing that came to her mind was like, oh, Foreign Legion, like almost as a joke. But then she like that stuck with her. And then she started making it. And then the Foreign Legion found out about it. And like they were going to give her tanks and all like equipment and stuff. But then they found out about like, no, you're making a gay movie. We're pulling everything.
Oh.
So she had to like scramble and do it all on her own, essentially.
Wow.
Anyways, that's that. She seems awesome. So what do you want to give this for gay actors playing gay roles?
I mean, this is unconfirmed, but I don't think any of these gay, or at least they're not like, you know, they're not like Harvey Fierstein doing, you know, they're not, he's not in the cast. So,
which is the only zero. Way you could be gay.
But it's like an actor that we all know and love as a gay person.
Right. I'm pretty sure Sean Hayes is in this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's one of the women
complaining about the
he's the Swiss lady.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have to go zero as well.
Zero. I'm going to give it a one just in case. Just in case.
Cover my bases. So if any Frenchies come after us.
Yeah. Sacre bleu. I don't need to hear it. Save your sacre bleu. Okay, that's what I'm saying. All right, our next category, themes of mothers. I would say motherhood is not a big theme of this movie.
No, it's not.
There's moments, though, where Santana's like comforted and cared for by the woman on the bus in like a maternal way. Maternal/nurse.
Is that a theme?
No, I said it wasn't a theme, but I'm just saying, I'm mentioning anything that had to do with mothers. Also, he didn't have parents. He was, you know, found in a stairwell.
Right. So they really doesn't have to do anything with mothers.
Or maybe it's all about the lack of motherhood. This is what happens.
Hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Oscar? What do you want to
give it? He's getting
zero. A zero.
Yeah, zero, unfortunately.
I'll give it a 0.5 for the woman on the bus.
All right.
Okay, next category, pearl clutching. Anything in this movie where
as
people...
in like the anyone in the movie doing the clutching of the pearls or
a metaphorical clutching of the pearls?
I was clutching some pearls and that full frontal scene, I was like, oh my God, that's penis right there. I wasn't expecting to see full on peen. But I did.
There is like a recurring motif, I guess you would say, of like the locals looking at the Legionnaires like, what the fuck are these people doing? You know what I mean? They were just like stare at them like bewildered. Like, what are they doing? What is the point of their existence? Is that pearl clutching? No, but it's something.
I mean, I assume like if you were to pan to the rest of the club in that final scene, some pearls would have been clutched.
Sure.
Who's her?
Right. Yeah.
And is she trained?
Where does obviously she study? Not.
Where did she study? Yeah, this is maybe two.
Two.
I'll give it a one.
One. Yeah, I'll give it a one. All right, this one's gonna be tough. Quips. How quippy is this movie? How many like funny lines are you gonna be repeating? They said the funniest thing in Beau Trevet.
Actually, I took a still of one of the things that they said. He was like thinking, and he said, "We all have a trash can deep within."
Sure.
And that to me was very funny.
There you go.
It wasn't meant to be funny at all, but to me, that made me laugh. So there are some quips in there.
Yeah.
Might be some lost in translation, definitely.
Sure. So what do you want to
hear? Are known for their rapier wit.
I mean, for that one thing, one.
One.
I will also give it a one for that one thing.
I'll also give it a one. We're being very generous with that. All right. Now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories are sort of larger, broader umbrella categories. And so we're back to zero to 100 for these.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The first one, Oscar, how would you rate Beau Trevet in homoeroticism?
Pretty high. It's pretty much the movie.
95.
Yeah, I'm going to go 95 as well. Just for no else than that weird exercise where they were aggressively hugging each other.
I know. Seriously.
What does that train you for? Like, that's what I was wondering. Cause like every other exercise they were doing, it was like, oh yeah, that's fighting or that's, you know, climbing or stuff like that. But that was just like, when does that happen?
I guess some days you're going to have to grab somebody
really hard.
really, really hard. I'm going to give it 100 just because also there is no like culmination. Fair. No like consummation of anything. So it is just that erotic energy charged to the whole thing. There's no release.
You love a blue ball.
I love a blue ball. And that's, I guess that's the dance floor is the ultimate release. That's what I've always, that's my single coming out this summer. Oh. The dance floor is the ultimate release. A little wordy, but we'll see. Giving it a 96.67, tying it with Can't Stop the Music. How about that?
Okay. Oh, my All God. Right.
It's one of your favorite movies.
I love that movie so fucking much. That, the milkshake, YMCA, that is, YMCA is homoerotic. That should get 100.
People gave it 100.
We got 100 on it.
It's great.
All right. Our next in the iconic category, over the top wardrobe. I mean, a lot of what the
wardrobe was cool, but I would not call any of it over the top. So
I think their little white hats are over the top.
Hats or berets, a little bit.
The short shorts.
That's not over the top, though. That's just European.
Was right? that what it is?
Yeah. It's just like very sexy and French, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it's 26.
26.
I'll go 22, mostly for like the women with all of their just fabric just like draped on them.
I'll give it a 25. Finally, last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Beau Travail?
I mean, they do set up camp.
There's literal camps.
There's literal camps. That's about it. Although I guess dance, you're ending with a dream ballet of Rhythm of the Night.
Yeah, that is campy. Pretty. I mean, that is pretty queer.
It is funny that the whole movie is like this pretty like intense, very thoughtful, you know, movie, but then it ends with like a party.
Yeah.
You know? It's just him. You know, like it's no one I know. Else is in that.
This is getting I mean, is it campy? No, it's not campy. It's like getting less than 50. I'm going to say 20. It's getting 20.
20. Mm-hmm.
I'll give it 25 for literal camp and then ending with that weird dream ballet.
All right, I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Training for a war that never comes. A song with kissing noises. Writing in a diary with a fountain pen. I've heard of sleeping in your underwear, but sweeping in your underwear? Fishing without a pole. Chewing on a bunch of leaves to get high. Getting your boys together to iron your shirts as a group. Being a bitch to the person you're most attracted to. Going to great lengths to make the men a lovely tablescape, and most of them don't bother to put a shirt on. A beachside cemetery. Hanging a tapestry of dogs playing pool in the pool room is a little on the nose. Exploring the domestic habits of the French Foreign Legion, drum circles, group shaving, an incriminating compass, and finally being sung off at the airport. I'll give it a 28.
Yeah, I don't consider those things camp. They're gay, but I don't think they're camp.
More of those, is that mutually exclusive? Is that kind of what the whole point of this list I've been doing for over 120 episodes is? Jesus Christ.
Things Oscar. Can be gay and not campy.
Yeah, but all right, I'm moving on. You guys. Jesus Christ. All right, finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these final categories, we don't rate. We all agreed either gets it or it doesn't.
All right, the first one, 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Oscar, go ahead.
People listening right positive now, Oscar made quite the face.
I don't know if it was a positive portrayal. And I don't even know if there was a portrayal of gay people. I know. Oh my God.
It's not really like about homosexuality. It's just, it's more like, I don't know.
No, exactly. Yeah. So
on a micro level.
The fact that there wasn't really a portrayal, I'm just going to say right. No.
Yeah, I'll say no as well.
I would also say no. And finally, negative 50% of all the points, if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, Oscar, that's it. We're done.
We're all done. So how do you think it did?
I don't know. I not well, but I think it's an important movie. And I'm so glad that this a movie like this is featured in this podcast, because like, you know, I think that it's a movie for gays, but like a different kind of gay. You
it's
know
a different what I mean? Vibe.
It's a different vibe.
It's not about being gay.
Exactly. I don't know. Like, I like this quieter vibe for this podcast. I think it's very interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad I asked you to come on.
Yeah, it's very
and
cool.
Talk about it. All right. I will tell you exactly how it did, though. Let's get down to brass tacks. Out of a total possible 2,181.22, Beau Travail has scored 1,247.22, giving a percentage of 57.18, making it the 64th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Waiting for Guffman, but gayer than Gremlins.
I'm surprised by how well it did, I gotta be honest.
I mean, there's certain things it did really well in, like footwork. True.
Yes, yes.
Homoeroticism. Yeah. It's just not campy, or it doesn't have like a lot of crazy clothes. Not a lot of drag looks overall.
Or gay people.
Or gay. Right. But I think it's like hugely important in terms of like homoeroticism. And
I mean, I think it's definitely a movie worth checking out. Like it's really, you know, all the praise it gets, it totally deserves. But it is that thing of like, you're doing something else. Like, don't, when you say watch a movie, you have to adjust what your expectation is a little bit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Oscar, we never have to adjust our expectations when we deal with you.
Yes, we always deliver.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh my goodness! Well, I don't know.
One of your four podcasts.
What's some of your other podcasts?
My latest podcast, which is pretty fun. John was actually a guest on the podcast, which is very fun. Okay. It's called Podcast Killed the Video Star.
Yes.
And it is a music video podcast where Mono Agapian and I, friend of the pod.
Known for his great taste in music.
We are on a quest to find the definitive top 100 music videos of all time. And I'm happy to report that a Madonna music video is currently at the number one spot. Which is
really?
Nice.
Which one? Can you spoil?
Can you guess which one it is?
I'm going to guess Vogue.
You are correct. It is Vogue. Vogue currently sits at number one on our top 100 music videos list of all time. But you can check that out at Podcast Killed the Video Star.
How does Broken Social Scenes Texaco Bitches? What number is that at?
You know, you can bring that when we bring you on the podcast.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It won't do well.
listen, you never
know. I love
know
bringing because, in things that don't do well, though.
Listen, you never know because we don't decide. What happens is, listeners will go on Podcast Kill the Video Star on Instagram and vote for their favorite music video. And the one with the most votes gets to make it to the top 100 music.
My question is, how many of these people are sitting down to watch like sight unseen? Like, I don't know this video. Let me watch it. And then I will vote. Or are they going, oh, no doubt. I know this. Beep, beep.
I don't. You know what? I mean, that's a great question. But some of the videos that have gotten passed are wild, truly
great,
truly truly wild. So
nice.
It's a very fun podcast.
It's really fun. It's really great. So Podcast Killed the Video Star, and then you can follow me personally at Ozzymo, OZZYMO on Instagram and Twitter.
Nice. Doing any more awesome. Twitch?
Oh yeah, I'm twitching, but it's so random and I don't
sure,
do it
totes
as much.
Rando.
But, you know, listen, you can follow me on Twitch if you want to at twitch.tv/Ozzy OZZY_MO. So
nice. Nice, bro. All right. Thanks, Oscar. You're always a dream. And
this is so fun.
We'll be right back. We're back. What a dream he is.
He is quite a dream. A delightful guest.
Well, Queen's Choice is now over.
We have finished this year's Queen's Choice. So how are you feeling about how the movie did?
I mean, I never bring in things that do well. I mean, it did better than Alien Covenant. But I do think Beau Travail. I think it's possibly gayer than Midnight Madness, which is it's lower than right now. But
but there's also a different scoring system.
There was a different scoring system. Like, do I think Beau Travail is gayer than Last Holiday? I do. But what can you do? That is the system.
The system is the system.
But I do hope people check it out. I do think it's
I agree. I know we've said it before. It is one of those movies where it's like a little weird. It's not necessarily what you're going to expect, but you will think about it a lot after the fact. And again, I am looking forward to rewatching it again in a couple months.
Just put it on the biggest screen you can.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Turn off the phone, turn off the lights, and just get lost in it.
Do not even have to take notes. That would be nice too.
Can you imagine?
Right? So it's such a treat to watch a movie and not have my laptop out looking through
it. It really is.
Do you know what else is a treat? Is hearing from you, our listeners. We got an email from Patrick who had emailed us before, and Patrick writes, "Hello. What a delight it was to hear John read my email on the show, but how humiliating that my suggested category already exists. It must rarely come up on the wheel, I guess. Oh, well, at least I got some sass from Mark for it." That was fun.
Yes, Patrick had suggested a category which existed already. Patrick goes on.
Audacity.
How dare you? Says, regarding when actual musicals come up in the musical potential category, it would be nice to judge them on the potential as another iconically gay genre or art form, but I certainly can't think of what that would be. Mark's off-the-cuff suggestion of horror movie potential would certainly be funny, but is it gay? Sorry, I only have vague ideas and not an actual suggestion. Goodbye. From Patrick, who says, P.S. I'm a new retirement plan member. Well, thank you.
Oh, Patrick. Well, thank you, Patrick. Thank you
for joining our retirement
That's
plan.
So nice. What's another like gay art form besides, I mean, one man shows, one woman shows,
one person shows,
like even anything, sculpture? Is that gay?
could you crochet it?
Yeah. Tell all memoirs. Maybe like, would you like to see like a juicy behind the scenes? You know how like they have like
all about Eve.
Like,
right, I have that
amazing
book. Yeah,
it's a, like, oh, would you want to read like the behind the scenes, like juicy tell all of the making of this movie? Like Sound of Music, The Apple, absolutely.
Yes, but then also like Apocalypse Now, that has like a notorious behind the scenes.
But that would
like
be judged as a musical.
That's true. So good point.
Maybe tell. Would you want to read a juicy tell all about the making of the movie?
But I love that as a category in and of itself, as opposed to like a substitution for musical.
We do enough musicals, though, it would come up. Well, we'll talk
right,
about
but I'm saying
it.
Like,
we'll talk about it literally.
Next week we're going to have, we're deciding next week we are going to make a few tweaks and adjustments to the scoring system.
Would you believe it's going to be version 5.0?
That's nuts.
Yes.
But I think it's like getting better. Like, I think the first time we shipped it was the biggest one.
The biggest.
And since then it has been like, tweaks. Might need a little tweaks here and there.
Yes. Yes. And if there's anything gay loves, it's tweaking.
It's a tweak. It's tweaking. Yeah, we love to tweak. Well, thank you, Patrick. If you guys have any other thoughts or suggestions, or we love hearing from you, you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes. And as I mentioned before, we also have a Patreon, Two Old Queens, the retirement plan. Go over there, and for $5 a month, you get an extra episode every week. And also we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
Right, and then we'll see you next. We do know our movie for next week.
We do know our movie for next week, yes.
I think this would be a popular choice. It's The House Bunny with Anna Faris.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that before, John?
I have not seen that one before. Oh, I'm very excited to watch it.
All right, that'll be a fun one. People love it. All right, we'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.